The scripture passage today is from the Gospels is a interesting passage. It starts with people coming to Jesus to talk about people who had been killed. And it's interesting how Jesus responds, and how Jesus responds gives us a little insight into how the people came to him in the first place. He brings up another tragic situation about a tower falling on people and asks them, do you think those people were worse than you? And then he does something that, if you notice, Jesus rarely does, but he consistently does to certain groups of people. He rebukes them. Now, sometimes if you listen to some preachers, you'd think that Jesus was going around rebuking everybody, and that was like one of Jesus' favorite things to do. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus seems to only rebuke certain groups of people in the Gospels. And those are people that generally are harsh and unkind to other people. You don't see Jesus rebuking and telling people what they should and shouldn't be doing and being all angry with them when they're just normal people. You see this with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you see it here in this passage today, where Jesus says, the same thing's going to happen to you if you don't change your ways. So what was it that was at the core of this passage that got Jesus to speak and got Jesus so agitated that he would speak this way? Well, back in that time, and I would argue even today, there was this general idea that if something bad happened to you, it was a judgment from God. We see one of the passages in the Gospels, there's a blind man, and they say, who sinned? Did this man sin, or did his parents sin to make him blind? And Jesus said, none of them did. Right? We see this kind of undertone in the whole message, that people that are sick, people that were having hard times, even the poor, were seen as being in that situation because of something bad that they did. And that's what Jesus rebukes today. Jesus makes it very clear in this passage that bad stuff happens. Remember the book, when bad things happen to good people? That's the truth. Bad things happen to good people. And it's not God up there being finicky and picky and deciding to harm and make people's lives difficult because they didn't do this or didn't do that. One of my new kind of teachings that I've been teaching that came up with my nephew as we were talking not too long ago, and I say it in certain variations of the phrase, and at first, I'm not trying to be radical or to shock you. I think it's just a very important truth, and the truth is this. God is not a jerk. Let me just pause. Let's get past the shock of hearing somebody talk about God and jerk in any kind of sentence, and hear it again. God is not a jerk. And when you hear people describing things in a certain way that makes God look that way, then that's when you need to pause and say, they have it wrong. God is not sending disease upon people. God's not making little children starve because of sins of their families or parents or countries. God isn't looking on with favor the family whose house the tornado jumped over, and looking with sadness and shame on the ones whose house it was that was destroyed. That's not how it works. Tornadoes happen. Buildings fall down. Cells in our bodies turn against us and become cancerous. These are not the judgments of God. And then what Jesus does in this passage is he tells this story about fig trees. And Jim said I was supposed to tell us something about fig tree farming today, so I had to kind of look some stuff up since he said that. And I really couldn't find a whole lot, but I do know that a lot of us are familiar with farming and growing things in general, just because of where we live and the experiences that we had. And I remember that my dad planted an orchard with all these different trees, and for years and years and years, there were never any apples. And I kept thinking, well, aren't they apple trees? Isn't this supposed to happen? I'm familiar with planting and growing. When I was a kid, I played Monopoly every day during the summer with my friend, and he had a Monopoly set that had in it a brief some of the world records that were set by people playing Monopoly, like in a tree or underwater. And so I came up with the idea and looked and didn't see that this had ever happened. I said, let's play Monopoly on the back of a soybean planter while my dad's planting soybeans. And so convinced my dad somehow, because my dad was he was always worried about dangerous situations, and so he let us sit on top of this bean planter behind the tractor, but then he tied us onto it with rope, which was actually probably just long enough to drag us behind the bean planter if we actually fell off. And off he went. And so we started trying to play, and then the money and the cards would blow off, and we'd yell, stop, stop, and my dad would stop, and we'd have to untie the rope and then jump off and go get the things out of the field when we could find them, and then climb back on the bean planter and get tied back on, and then it wasn't a minute later, and we'd yell, stop, stop, the boardwalk card fell off, and so we have to. And for years after that, whenever we would plow or plant, we would find Monopoly money and cards here and there all over the fields. So we understand this kind of, and we've been around this idea of growing. And Jesus tells this story about fig trees, and a fig tree in particular that had not been producing figs. And so the owner comes along and says, that's it, I've had it. They're not producing, they're not pulling, it's not pulling its own weight. So just cut it down. And it was the gardener that came along and said, let me do some special care to it. In essence, it's not the tree's fault. It might need just a little bit of attention and care. And my guess is that the gardener, the next year, if there weren't figs on the tree, was going to go back to the owner and say, wait, let me try some other stuff for one more year. You could tell that this gardener had some connection, right, with God and with this idea that sometimes things just need some help. I think Jesus was pulling these two wise ideas together. The one saying, stop being judgmental and root out this idea that because people are having hard times, it's their fault or God is punishing them. God is not like that. What we should do, rather, our first inclination is not to blame them, not to look for what they're doing wrong, but to help them. to care for them. There's plenty of things that we can do. Maybe making a phone call or stopping by to visit our shut-ins or someone that might be dealing with some sickness. Speaking a kind word to someone, standing up for someone when we hear others making fun of them or even if they're not there. Being that constant voice of the gardener saying, you know what? What they need is some care and some attention, not blame and being thrown out. There's never a time, according to Jesus, that someone should be given up on or thrown out. There's an African tribal story about a tribe who had a group of cows, and they noticed that the cows were not producing as much milk, and so one of the young men stayed out at night to see what was going on. And as he was there, there was this moonbeam that came down, and this maiden came down on this moonbeam with a bucket and milked the cows and then went back up. And that next night, he was out there again, but he set a trap for her. And when she came down, he caught her in the trap. And he asked her who she was, and she said, well, I'm from a tribe from the sky. We're related to you. But she said, we don't have any food up there, so I'm responsible for finding food for our tribe. And she said, that's why I came down here. And the young man agreed to let her go, but he said, you have to do one thing in order for me to let you go. And she said, I will. What is it? He said, you have to marry me. And she said, okay, I'll do that. Let me go say goodbye to my family. And so she went up on the moonbeam, and a couple days later, or nights later, she came back down, and they got married. And she had with her this box. And she told him, she said, I'll marry you, and I'll stay with you, but you have to promise me one thing. He said, what's that? She said, you have to promise me you'll never open this box. He said, okay, I promise. And so they got married and they were happy and they lived together and it was all great. And then one day she was gone and the temptation overcame him. And he went and he opened the box. And he couldn't see anything in there. It was empty. And so he closed it, and later on she came back in, and his guilt and his conscience were so active that she could tell. She said, did you look in the box? He said, I did. He said, but there's nothing in there. He said, why were you telling me I couldn't look when there was nothing in there? And she started to cry. She said, that box held the air and the breath of my people from where I came from. And she said, I brought it with me to come down here. She said, I can't live with you anymore. He said, you can't live with me just because I opened the box. She said, it's not because you opened the box. She said, I can't stay with you because something that was so important and valuable to me, you can't even see it. All of us have our own box. Every person has their own box. And it's filled with the things that are important and meaningful and things that have gone on in their lives. And we look at people sometimes and we just can't understand why they do or how they are or things like that. But it's because we can't see what's in their box. Jesus says in this passage, do not judge, be kind, take a breath. Understand the God that we follow is not this petty, vengeful God that some of you would like him to be. That God loves us and cares for us, and we're called to care for one another. That's what it means to follow God. That's what it means to garden figs. That's what it means to understand people and their boxes and understand ourselves. May God give us the courage to be kind and to love. Amen.